Father, I thank you for today. Lord, we just do thank you for this preaching moment. Lord, we can open your word. We have the freedom to enjoy that, to enjoy interacting, engaging with you through your written word. And Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit, the voice that we need to listen to give prominent place in our hearts and in our lives, Father, we pray that we listen to that voice today. Speak to us through your scriptures on this very, very important matter and subject. Lord, many of us are coming to this room today, and we're not where we need to be, not where we should be. Father, we're struggling in our spirit in different ways, in different shapes, in different forms. We're struggling even in a battle that we can't really define, but we just know that we're struggling. We know there's things that are happening that we can't define, and Lord, it just doesn't make sense. We know things should be different. And Father, today as we talk about the unseen battle, this reality of spiritual warfare that we as followers of yours, Lord, we are in this battle, in this war every day. So, Father, I pray that you open our hearts and open our minds to this reality. And help us, Lord, help us to walk in a way that's going to allow you to influence and impact our lives and our journey instead of trying to do this on our own. Many of us have been deceived by the enemy, thinking that our intelligence or our finances or our prosperity or anything about what we've done and accomplished can fight the battle for us. We're good at self-deception as well. We don't need the enemy to deceive us. We allow that to happen ourselves. But Father, today through your word, speak truth into our lives. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm going to just be honest with you. I have been excited to talk about what we're going to talk about today. Not because the idea of spiritual warfare is something that is fun to talk about, although I think it's kind of fun to talk about. It's necessary for us, though, to be aware of really the battle that's going on in our own spirits and our own hearts. The things that we engage with every day, the way that we live our lives, the way that things happen in our lives, we have to understand there's some things happening that we can't quite make sense of, that we're not supposed to make sense of. There are things that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, as we walk with Him, as we walk in relationship with Him, there's things that He does in our spirit. There's battles that He fights that we are not going to be able to accomplish and fight ourselves. We're not going to be able to experience victory and overcoming in our own power. It's just not going to happen. But when we talk about spiritual warfare, let's understand what we're talking about. Because as we think about spiritual warfare and the unseen battle that we're engaged in, this is something that has become really a hot button for Hollywood, for our society, for the culture that we're engaged in, to really think about these spiritual forces of darkness, these things that we are battling and encountering every day. And they've taken this idea of spiritual warfare and hijacked it to actually celebrate the forces of darkness and celebrate the evil that is present in the world and really diminish the Lord's role in all of that. I mean, we think about spiritual warfare and we think about the icons of evil these days. We think about those that have to wear a mask and it makes us associate with horror movies, or they have long fingernails like razor blades and all of these things that we have become accustomed to in our culture, that it begins to celebrate the evil that's in our society today. And it begins, what happens is that celebration of evil begins to desensitize even our own senses as to the reality of the spiritual battle and the nature of the spiritual battle that we're in. And so we have to be very clear and very confident that the only place that we can go to for truth about spiritual battle, spiritual warfare, and the spiritual realm is in God's Word. Amen. That's the only source of truth that we have. We can't look anywhere else or any place else. Now, some will tell you that they've had experiences in this way or that way, and that they've walked through their life, they've done different things and they've experienced different things. I can't tell you what somebody else has done or has experienced or thinks they've experienced or what they attributed to. That's not what we can do. The only thing I can do is base my standard of absolute truth is based on the Word of God. And believe me, God has plenty to say about this situation and this circumstance, this subject of spiritual warfare. He talks about who the players are. He talks about how we fit into this spiritual warfare. And he talks about really what the end result is in this journey that we're on. And then as we look at really his redemption plan, that there's coming a day and time that we won't have to worry about this anymore. And I'm looking forward to that day. I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm looking forward to that day. This journey of spiritual warfare did not begin at the creation. For those of you that have been around for the last few weeks, a month, that we've walked through the first three chapters of Genesis. We've walked through creation. We've walked through the creation account according to scriptures. We walked through the creation of man. He created the male and female. And there was a specific purpose and design around that creation of humanity. And that as we looked and continued to walk through those chapters, we looked at God's design on marriage and why his design on marriage was important in the context of relationships, in the context of the human economy. And then we looked last week, Dr. Harrison was preaching in here, we looked last week at this idea of sin and the fall of man. This idea where God's design became corrupted and became forever corrupted because of the issue of sin. And so as we look at this idea of spiritual warfare, we have bookends. I want you to think about it as bookends about this conversation of spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare started in Genesis chapter 3 with the fall of man when sin entered humanity. Before then, there wasn't any spiritual warfare. It was God and man. There wasn't any sin. But spiritual warfare, the war that happens between good and evil, between God and his opposer, and we'll call him the devil because we're going to talk about him a little bit today and in the weeks to come. And so this idea of spiritual warfare started at the fall. And if you read to the end of the book, there's a time coming when that battle is over. There's a time coming when we know who wins. And forevermore, there won't be any more spiritual warfare because Jesus is Lord and Lord of all. And so as we talk about spiritual warfare, I'm going to ask you to turn to Ephesians chapter 6 today in a very familiar passage. A familiar passage to most of us as we look at this idea of the battle, the unseen battle. Some of us are walking today in a way that we know that we're under attack. We know that there's an enemy out there that is attacking us in our spirit, attacking us in the very core of who we are. And we just can't put our finger on it. We just can't put our finger on what's wrong, who's wrong. And we try to fix it every way humanly possible. We try to fix it with self-help books. We try to fix it with getting a counselor or getting a good therapist. We try to fix it with any other way that you can imagine. We try to fix it in our own vein in the way that we walk. There is no solution in humanity for this idea of the unseen battle in spiritual warfare. The only solution, and it's found in Scripture, by the way, the only solution for our fighting or waging this war is Jesus. It's Jesus Christ. And in him, we can be overcomers, overcomers of all things that are thrown against us. It's only in Christ. It's in his power and might and not our own. And so if you're struggling today and you're at the end of your rope and that you've tried everything and you can't fix it, you can't figure it out, I'm glad you're here today. I'm glad you're here today. Let's jump into Scripture and see what God has for you today. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of the wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God that you may be able to resist in the evil day, having done everything, stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, which you will be able to extinguish all of the flaming missiles of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Father, again today, we just ask that you can speak to our hearts through your written word today. Lord, help us to understand this battle that we're in on this journey. Father, we love you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The reason I've been excited to walk through this text with you, to walk through this series with you, the unseen battle, is because I'm of the opinion, and I'm convinced that we better understand the true nature of the spiritual warfare that's going on in our soul and in our spirit, that if we understand this battle that we're in, that we'll be better equipped to walk this journey in a way that would glorify God, and we'll be better motivated to allow him to be Lord of our lives. Instead of us trying to take the reins and try to do what we try to do best, push God out and try to take over ourselves. When we realize and recognize and come to the point that we understand there's no way that we're going to win this battle on our own, that we can't do it on our own, then we'll be more apt to and willing to allow God to be Lord, allow Him to be the one that's in the driver's seat, and follow and live life according to His commands. So as we look at this, let's have that idea in mind, that that would be the end result and goal, that we would be better equipped to walk this journey, this grind of the daily life. And so finally, here we go. Here's the 3 points that we're going to cover today. The unseen battle. It's spiritual, not physical. This battle we're in is spiritual. It's not physical. Well, whoa, 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 Pastor, wait a minute. What do you mean? Because this I'm facing physical battles all day long and twice on Sunday. What do you mean it's not physical? Well, I'm going to explain that to you. It's a spiritual battle we're in, and it manifests itself all throughout our humanity, out into our body and in physicality. And so we struggle and fight against everything in this world, but it's not a physical battle, it's a spiritual battle. And this passage instructs us in that way. We also understand the unseen battle, that we have to fight it in God's strength, not our own strength. Oy vey. Many of us have some battle scars because we've tried to fight this war, fight this battle on our own terms and in our own power rather than allowing the power of God to be what we lean and we rely on in the midst of this battle. And the last thing I want to talk about today in a very brief fashion is that this battle is against the schemes of the devil. It's against the wiles of the devil, the King James Version says. It's a neat word. I learned that when I was a kid and thought, what in the world is he talking about? Really, in essence, it's talking about the strategy of the enemy. When you're in a battle and you have two sides waging war against each other, each side has a strategy. A strategy in which to wage an attack and to win the war that it's in. Well, trust me, the enemy has strategies that he is continuing every waking moment and moments that we're not even awake to fight and to engage in spiritual warfare. And if we're not living lives that are submitted to the Lord and allowing Him to fight that battle for us, we are done for before we even begin. So these are the three things. The first thing we'll talk about is spiritual, not physical. And when we talk about this, there are a few things that we need to take a really clear understanding on. Did you know that the Bible talks about our bodies in three different ways? That we are body, soul, and spirit. That we are made up of different levels deepness. That there's an inner soul to us, and there's a spirit that resides in us that is it's different than anything else in creation. And some would call this the image of God that He's placed in us, because in our spirit is where we have faith and where we interact with God in relationship. But the world in which we interact with and what we can see, I mean, if you look at your neighbor and they look back at you, that's the body. That's the physical realm. And this is the realm that we kind of walk in, that we kind of interact with each other in a very cursory way on the surface level. That we are interacting and engaging this world through our bodies, through our five senses, through the different systems of our body. And many of us, as we're kind of getting older in life, sometimes this body kind of breaks down a little bit. Not one amen. Look at y'all. Look at y'all. Man. Maybe just me. Okay. So as we get a little older, things start to kind of work a little differently, a little slower, a little different than they did when we were younger. And we experience that in our body as we engage the world around us. Inside our bodies, there's this sense of a soul, and the body, the Word of God talks about this, and it's where our personality is. It's where we make choices. It's where our will resides. It's where those things we weigh, good and bad, morality, and all of those things that are happening in our mind. It's the subconscious mind and the conscious mind, and we're battling and our thought process, and all of those things are happening on the soul level. It's not, you don't see that. I mean, if you can look at, we got about 200 people in here, and there's 200 different battles that are going on right now. You guys never stop battling. No wonder you look tired all the time. Because this is happening inside of us all the time, and we're fighting this and fighting that, and these thoughts are coming in, and all of a sudden we're here, and all of a sudden we're an hour away at lunch and thinking about what's for lunch, and then we're back to what happened this morning and the fight and the argument that we got in before we got here. I mean, this is where it happens, and it's happening all the time. But the Bible talks about this place called the Spirit. And this is the place, it's where our heart. The Greek word for it is cardia, where we get cardiac. But it's the heart. It's the inner man. And it's where the Spirit of God resides. It's where our spirit and God's spirit interact with one another. In here we find this meaning, this purpose, this idea of love. These things that are peculiar to humanity because of our spirit with God. This is where the unseen battle is waged. It's in our spirit. Really, who is going to be in control of our spirit? Is it going to be God? Or is it going to be not God? Us or something else that's distracted us from the rightful place that God has in our lives? Therein lies the unseen battle that we're talking about today. And it's happening and waging every moment of every day. We've got to be aware of this. And we've got to be aware that as we live our lives at different intervals and times of the day, that we are giving allegiance not to God, but to other entities, so that they have God's place in our spirit. We can't allow that. We can't allow that. And so we've got to think about this. It's not a physical battle. It's a spiritual battle in which we're engaged in. It's a spiritual battle happening all the time. And so we think about this and we look back and we kind of think about, okay, it's not a physical battle, it's a spiritual battle, but how do I fight this? How do I wage this? Seems like the cards are stacked against us. If it's a physical battle, he talks about putting on the armor of God, which is a physical representation of a spiritual reality that he's asking for the church at Ephesus to do here, for us to consider here. How do we do this and what does it look like? Well, it's not a spiritual battle. I mean, it's not a physical battle, it's a spiritual battle. So we don't fight the battle. It's not in our power and might, it's in his power. And his might. And so we'll take a look at verse 10. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of your might. No, that's not what it says. It says, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, his power, his ability. That's where this battle is waged. That's how we have victory in the battle that we're engaged in. It's not in us. It's not our strength. It's not our different talents and abilities and the things that we lie to ourselves on. It's not in the resources of our lives. There's a false gospel that's being preached today. You believe in Jesus, you'll have everything you want, all the prosperity, all the health and the wealth. And in that, you can fight the spiritual battle that's going on because all of the victory is tied to the health and wealth. That's a false gospel. And it's a lie of the enemy. It's a trickery, a deception of the enemy. The Bible says that it's in his might. It's in his strength. And so what does that do? What does that say about our strength? Well, first of all, we have to recognize that we're weak. That we don't have the strength or the energy or the wherewithal to fight against this enemy spiritually. It's not in us. We don't have. You know why? It's a very simple answer. It's because of sin. Sin, and the sin that's in our lives is sin nature. We can't fight the enemy. He is a master at using your sin nature against you. Well, why do you say that, Pastor? Well, have you ever noticed that weak spot in your armor a little bit? That weak spot, that thing that you keep tripping up on? As you live your life, as you're walking through, I'm not going to do that again. I'm not going to say that again. I'm not going to look at that again. I'm not going to allow. And then all of a sudden, you're walking through life and lo and behold, you're doing the activity that you said you weren't going to do and you didn't even realize it. Because your sin nature is so powerful. It's so overwhelming. And as we're trying to live in our own power and our own might, we're living in sin. We're not supposed to live like that. As we've come into a relationship with Jesus and understood ourselves, what if he's the Lord of our life, then it's in his power and his might that we're walking in. And this verse literally says, be empowered, be strengthened. To keep strengthening upon strength, to keep growing in that strength. And to do that, there's only one way to do that, and that is through him, a relationship with him, growing in our relationship with him, walking and becoming stronger in our obedience and stronger in our trust in him. That's when we start to see that there's traction in our journey and traction in our spiritual warfare. That we're able to say no to some of those things that have tripped us up before, not because we're powerful, but because He's powerful. It's by His power and His might that I can live, that I can walk, that I can have any success at all. Because in my weakness is when He's strong. If I try to rely on my own strength, then that means He's weak. I'm giving Him a weak platform in my life if I'm living in my own strength. Good luck with that. That's not going to work. And each of us have a story to tell when we know that to be true. But as we allow Him to be strong and rely on His strength, we become weak and be obedient to His word. We become inconsequential and just follow the game plan that He's given us. Walk obediently to what He's commanded us to do, then we become strong because of His strength and His power and His might. It says, be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might. That word might means ability. Be strong in His ability. Be trustworthy of His ability. Know that He can handle this spiritual warfare. He's already overcome it. He's already overcome. How did He do that? Have you heard the name of Jesus? Is that anybody heard of the name Jesus? Okay, so what's happened? Since the fall of man, there was this great divide between humanity and God because of this sin issue. This issue of sin. This issue of sin has brought us away from Him, and it's plunged us deep into spiritual warfare. Because we're constantly having this battle between good and evil, between the enemy and God. And it's going on in our hearts and lives. And so we have no way to overcome this on our own. No way to get to God. No way to restore that relationship. So God loved us so much that He sent His one and only Son, Jesus, to come and to die on the cross, not for His own sin. I mean, that's what people died on the cross for. They died on the cross because of their transgression of the law. But Jesus didn't transgress the law. He didn't transgress man's law or God's law. He died on the cross, not for His sin, but for your sin. And for my sin. He took that upon Himself, that as we apply faith in our relationship, that He took that penalty of sin on Himself. We believe that He did that for us. We accept that fact into our lives. We receive the forgiveness of sin. He becomes the Lord of our lives. And so now Jesus has taken this penalty on Himself. We accept that by faith as payment of our sin. And the Bible says our relationship now has been restored with God. Not because of us or anything that we can do, because of our strength or our might or our ability, but because of Jesus' ability and what happened on the cross, that He took sin upon Himself. And so as we walk in a relationship with Him, this is what happens. We no longer walk according to the sin nature that's in our lives. We walk according to His nature. We allow Him and His victory that He's won on the cross over sin and death to become present in our lives. And we allow Him to overcome that sin in our lives as we allow Him to have reign and throne in our spirits. But if we kick Him off the throne and try to take over ourselves again, what do you see the folly in that? That doesn't make any sense, and that's when we struggle. It says this struggle that we're in verse 12. And so we know that it's not our strength, it's His strength. We know that it's not a physical battle, it's a spiritual battle. We also have to be prepared for the wiles of the enemy. We have to be prepared for the tactics and the strategies, the schemes of the enemy. Verse 11 says, put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. You may be able to stand firm. So the ultimate goal in spiritual warfare is not to run away, not to avoid it, it's to stand firm. It's to stand firm in your faith, to stand still and let God be God. Do you see that in verse 11? Verse 11. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. And so in the spiritual warfare, our job is to stand firm, to stand still, to stand unmoving and unwavering. in our faith and in what God has called us to here than allowing Him to fight our battle, our spiritual battle for us. So we think about, what does it mean to put on the full armor of God? Well, we looked at this verse. You can tell that this is pieces of armor that a Roman soldier would have put on. And as they put that on, they were ready for battle. They were protected from head to foot. And as they advanced in battle, they were protected. Now, as we think about this in spiritual warfare, there is a metaphor that says we're advancing in battle. Wait a minute, you just said stand firm. That's exactly right. Because this is what happens. When we stand firm in our faith and we stand up for our faith and we walk according to the Spirit, we're not static. It's not a static process. It's not a come on Sunday, once and done, you're done for the week. As we live our lives, it's a dynamic, moving process that happens every moment of every day. And as we walk according to the Spirit, as we put on the armor and we're walking in the full armor of God, God's might takes over. And He fights our battles for us. And the end result is the advancement of the kingdom. It's not our own agenda. It's not our own. That would mean that we're the Lord of our own hearts again, remember? We're not that. We're advancing His kingdom. We're pushing back darkness and allowing our light to shine. We're bringing our light onto the darkness, and darkness has to flee. That's what we're here for. That's the spiritual warfare that we're engaged in. Some of you might say that you're ready for a little light to shine in your own life. That as we live this journey and this daily grind, which this word battle can mean, a grind. It's the struggle. It's vibrating up against one another. This word struggle in verse 12 means to wrestle with. To wrestle with. As we think about that, it's when you wrestle with something, it's intimate. It's one-on-one contact. It's not something that you can just not think about. It's going to happen. And many of us are living in that struggle. We're trying to fight this battle on our own. And the enemy is so good at targeting us right where it hurts. Right where it hurts. Tonight, as we look and do a little deeper dive into the players of spiritual warfare, I'll invite you back at 6. We'll kind of get into some of these things a little bit deeper tonight. We kind of spend our time talking about angels, but what are some of the schemes of the devil? What are some of the things that he does in our own lives or in our experience, even in the culture that we live in today? Well, we've been talking about them. We can know them, by the way. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11 says that, or chapter 2, verse 11 says that we do know the enemy's tactics. And specifically in that passage, it's talking about unforgiveness. That unforgiveness is a foothold for the enemy, and it's somewhere where he can attack us and get us to fall, get us to trip, get us to struggle because of unforgiveness in our life. But some of the larger issues in society that we see today is that the enemy challenges the Word of God, the authority of the Word of God. And we've talked about this over the last 6-7 weeks, about creation and about the authority of God's Word and how the enemy is targeting God's design, and we're trying to redefine God's design. If we can get rid of the first couple of chapters of the Bible, then what good is the rest of it? Challenging God's Word and the truthfulness, the absolute truthfulness of it. He also challenges our identity in Christ. Some of you were part of the study that we did for Overcomer. We did a 5-week study on identity. And where we find our identity is very important. If we find our identity anywhere but in our relationship with God through the blood of Jesus Christ, we're going to be in trouble when it comes to spiritual warfare. We're going to be in trouble because they're going to attack us right at that point. If your identity is in your job, well, when troubles at the job come, what happens? You start to shake on your identity. You start to don't understand what's going on. There's trouble that happens in your life. What happens when you find your identity in your relationships? Well, when you start to have trouble in your relationships, your whole world starts to rock and shake and doesn't make sense. He starts to attack us in these ways, and he starts to challenge who we are, and he challenges God's Word. He challenges the truthfulness, the very foundation in which we have our life built on. He twists Scripture to make them mean something that was never the intention. We find that in Scripture, by the way. but we find it in the world that we live in all around us today. Here's one thing that he offers us tempting alternatives to following him. Tempting alternatives to replace him on the throne of our lives with something else. And most of the time, especially for those of us that have been Christians for a little bit of time, that we've been, you know, we can call ourselves veteran Christians, so to speak, and we're walking down this journey of life. Many times, if he throws something at us that is absolutely awful and doesn't match up with the Word of God, we can identify that very quickly and say no. And so what the enemy does in a very deceitful and cunning way is he'll introduce something that is a good thing, seemingly good thing, and would allow that thing in any other context would be a great thing. It would be something that we can do to glorify God if we just do a little bit more of this. And before long, we start to elevate these good things, maybe religious things, maybe acts of service and kindness. Maybe it's giving or financial matters. Maybe you fill in the blank, but these good things, it could be family. Good things that take the place of God on the throne of our lives, and all of a sudden we find ourselves in a mess. We never thought we'd get there. You know, I grew up in a day when Sundays were sacred. You remember those days? I remember when I first got my first job at the grocery store when I was 16, we weren't open on Sunday. It was part of the culture. Even in the mid-80s, we weren't open. Then all of a sudden, we opened, and it was only like from 10 to 4. It was so you could still go to church either in the morning or night, and you know, but the liquor store wasn't open. Couldn't buy beer or alcohol on Sunday. And then a little bit of time went by, right? And all of these things start to flood in, start to compete with the role that God plays in our lives. And all of a sudden, we have all this competition on the Lord's day for His place in our lives. So that was once, as we lived our lives, once was a sacred day that we would live in fellowship and friendship with our church family or with our families, that all of a sudden it became, well, another day of the week that ends with Y. This is just a very simple example, and he can use any of these things that we've talked about to replace the priority of God in our lives. And before, we have to be aware. We have to be alert. And so against the schemes of the devil, Peter gives this advice in 1 Peter 5:8. He says, be sober-minded and on the alert. You know what that means? Be watching and be ready. Right? Be watching and be ready because the enemy's somewhere and he's coming to get you. I remember when we went to San Antonio when my son graduated from basic training for the Air Force. And, people say, you know, it's the chair force, it's the least of the four. I'm proud of my son. I'm proud of the job that he's done and he's doing in the service today. But when he came out of basic training, it was the fun. Some of you who've been through basic training, you'll understand. It was the funniest thing to us. He had, in 8 weeks, he had completely changed. Not just because he got a haircut and he, you know, was in shape. But when he came out, we went out there and we went to a hotel. We went to lunch and we had to take him back to the base. But he would not sit with his back against the door. He had to watch out what was going on. His head was on a swivel just like this the whole time. And I'm like, I'm looking at my wife going, what is his deal, you know? But that's what he was now. After just 8 weeks, he had completely changed. He had to be alert. Situational awareness had overtaken everything that he was doing. Now it was new to him. It was new to us. So it was very obvious what he was doing. But isn't that what this verse says that we need to be doing? Always be on the alert. Head on a swivel. Understanding that what's happening and what's going on. At the very moment that you least expect it, the enemy's coming. So when you're by yourself on the computer, beware. When you're on a phone conversation with somebody who, well, beware. The enemy wants to attack through gossip and slander and backbiting and talking bad about others. Beware. The enemy is always lurking around. He's prowling, looking to see who he may devour. And before you know it, you've done fell. This is the battle that we're engaged in. It's a very real and present battle. And so what do we do? What do we do? How do we fight this? So as we apply this text and apply this reality of spiritual warfare to our lives, what is it? What can we do? I'm glad you asked. First thing we need to do is to read the Bible. We need to be engaged in the game plan. We need to understand what the game plan is for the battle that we're in. So we need to read the Word of God. We need to understand what the Word of God says and what He says to do, to stay away from pitfalls and landmines and minefields, to stay away from those things, that this is a safe path and a safe journey. You'll be able to make it down this path, but stay away from that. Stay away from this because those things are dangerous. He tells us in here how to live our lives to avoid those things. Ways that we can live our lives successfully in the Spirit according to His might. But to live according to His might and to really understand what the game plan is, you have to know the commander. You can't get by that. You have to know the Lord. You have to know the Lord in an intimate way. And here's the thing. He has to know you. It's not knowing about the Lord. It's knowing the Lord in an intimate way. Head knowledge is great. You know, I'd love to play Trivial Pursuit from the Bible, by Biblical Trivial Pursuit. To have these trivia games, and we're going to, in the next few months, we're going to have a church-wide Bible Jeopardy. Hello? Invite everybody back for a Saturday night. We're going to have a good time with that. Those are fun. It's good to have head knowledge because it means you're in the Word of God. You're trying to allow the Word of God to be in you. But that is meaningless if you don't know the person who wrote the book. If you don't understand who He is and what He's done for you. So we have to understand that we have to know the commander, and the commander has to know us. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, it's one of the saddest verses to me in the whole Bible. That there are going to be people that come to Him on that judgment day and said, "Lord, Lord, let me in. I did all of these things for You. I cast out demons. I prophesied in Your name. I did all these wonderful things. Many people talked good about Me and the things that I did for the kingdom. Let me in. Here we go." Jesus says these words that, "Depart from Me. I never knew you." We can do a lot of things. We can play church and we can play around with our relationship with God. We can think that we can do it on our own. And many of us have lied to ourselves and deceived ourselves into thinking that that's true. But unless we've come to a point of relationship, a point of threshold that we cross over, that we ask for the forgiveness of our sins and turned our lives over, allowing Jesus to take control of our lives, then it's head knowledge. It's not heart knowledge. Jesus was saying in Matthew chapter 7, there's like some people in this room may come to a point in time where they're saying, "You know what? I was at church. When they passed the offering plate, I gave. When they had the small group, I went. I had some friends in there. We ate donuts and drank coffee. I was good. I did all these things, Jesus." Instead of saying, "Come in, well done, thou good and faithful servant," there's a possibility that He may say, "Depart from Me, I never knew you." And so to know the commander, the Bible says that we have to admit that we're a sinner. We have to come to a point in understanding that sin has caused the problem, a separation from God. And we have to come to a point that as we admit we're a sinner, that we turn our lives over to Christ, that we don't trust in ourselves and our own ability anymore, that everything about our lives is now His. And He has become Lord of our life. He's become our commander. And then as we live our lives according to His commands, that we expect and enjoy an eternity with Him, an eternal life. If we've not done that, if we've not turned our lives over to Him, if we've not submitted ourselves and said, "You are Lord, I am not," Jesus is going to say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." There's an evidence in our lives that we've come to a point in time that we've made that decision. You know what that evidence is? That evidence is in our lives. It's proven out by the fruit of our lives. You can tell a tree by what fruit it has. Well, the way that we live our lives is evidence that we've turned our lives over to Him, because there will be fruit that will be evident that we have that relationship. And if our lives don't exhibit that fruit, that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, if we're not walking and our lives aren't exhibiting that fruit of the Spirit because we've turned our lives over to Him, then we have to pause and ask that question. Have I really understood myself to be in a relationship, to be walking according to the commands of the commander rather than my own might, my own strength? If there's anything that spiritual warfare should help us understand, it's that we can't do this on ourselves. We can't do it ourselves. And it helps point to the ultimate reality that we can't get to heaven ourselves. We can't find peace and reconciliation with God except through Jesus Christ. And so today, the invitation is very simple. If you've never walked across that threshold of relationship, I'm inviting you into that relationship with Him. And so as we stand in a moment and sing, I'm going to ask our praise band to come. If we stand in a moment and sing and you haven't done that, I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you about what that looks like and about that journey and about helping you get started on that journey of faith. It's not meant to be alone. And if you've been trying to walk this alone, no wonder you're struggling. It's not meant to be done like that. As we think about the things that we're looking forward to this week, this hour, this day, what are the struggles that you're struggling with? Have you released them to the Lord, or are you still going to hold on to them and try to fight them on your own? We're going to stand and sing in a minute, and these stairs will be open as a moment of prayer. Now, you can pray where you're at, and that's fine too. Nothing wrong with that. But sometimes, especially when we're making a commitment to the Lord or allowing Him to do work in our lives, sometimes to step out and to come and just kneel and pray and to leave it here means a lot. Spiritually. Because we're in a spiritual battle, not a physical battle. Today, if you've accepted Christ, this truth of the gospel for yourself, I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you and help you get started on this journey. If you're wanting to, desiring a church home that be around believers, fellow believers that are like-minded, that are traveling this journey as well, that help each other, that work together to encourage each other, I want to talk to you too. Because we have a church just like that. As we stand together and sing, let the Lord be the Lord.